It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. Breaking news from the Bluegrass State today. Gunfire erupting at a bank in Louisville, Kentucky. Police calling it a mass casualty event. The governor of Kentucky, Andy Beshear.
This is awful. I have a very close friend that didn't make it today. And I have another close friend who didn't either. And one who's at the hospital that I hope is going to make it through. So when we talk about praying, I hope people will. We've got to wrap our arms around these families.
Five deaths being reported, including the gunman. Eight others injured, including two cops. The shooter, a previous employee of that bank. Police are calling it workplace violence. It's not known if the shooter was killed by police or took his own life. Dueling rulings on abortion. The fate of a widely used abortion pill up in the air after competing decisions from federal judges. One halts FDA approval. The other has been ordered to stay on the market. Legal analyst Laura Jarrett.
Many wondered how that judge in Texas would rule in the most significant case on abortion since Roe was overturned. But that judge wasn't the only federal court that had something to say about a pill that's been on the market for 23 years.
These conflicting rulings leave the fate of the abortifacient in jeopardy. Pro-lifers argue that pill, mifepristone, is dangerous to both the unborn child and the mother. There is growing fallout over the leak of highly classified government documents posted online. It is the worst breach of its kind in more than a decade.
One of the first places these documents appeared was on a video game chat server, of all places, devoted to the online sensation Minecraft.
National security expert Ken Delaney.
This breach has been deeply embarrassing for the United States because it fuels perceptions around the world that our spy agencies just can't keep secrets.
The Pentagon wants to know how these top secret documents on Russia, Ukraine, and China wound up on social media.
In response to the leaked documents, the Pentagon has begun a damage assessment. These reports evaluate actual or potential damage to U.S. national security.
Correspondent Catherine Herridge. Tensions remain high around Taiwan as Communist China conducts military operations off the coast. At the same time, the U.S. military has moved a naval destroyer into the South China Sea. Texas Congressman Mike McCall was in Taiwan last week, where he called out China's military posturing.
It's not going to intimidate us. If we're going to have deterrence for peace, we need to get weapons into Taiwan.
South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham says China smells blood in the water.
China, after Afghanistan, believes that the store is open, that you can go in and take whatever you want on Biden's watch.
Taiwan's foreign minister warns of an uncontrollable war between China and the island should any of those Chinese military exercises go awry. Texas Governor Greg Abbott says it's a case of self-defense. He plans to commute the sentence of an Army sergeant convicted in the killing of a Black Lives Matter protester 3 years ago. The defendant's mother telling the court,
"An angry mob of Black Lives Matter protesters tried to kill my son, United States Army Sergeant Daniel Perry. And now Daniel is being charged for murder. He was just trying to defend himself."
Others are calling the sergeant's actions cold-blooded murder. Witnesses say Perry accelerated his vehicle into a crowd of demonstrators. Texas defense attorney Rick Hofer.
Governor Abbott hasn't seen a single piece of evidence or reviewed a single minute of testimony, but it appears the governor believes that Travis County's jury just reached the wrong verdict.
Sentencing for that Army sergeant begins tomorrow. He's facing life in prison. More protests expected today at the Tennessee State Capitol as two expelled politicians fight to win their seats back. The Nashville City Council may vote today to reinstate one of the two. Both were kicked out after violating the rules of the Tennessee House. It happened during chaotic gun control debate following the tragic shooting at a Christian school in Nashville. Axios reporting today that President Biden is holding off on making any announcement about 2024. Will he run again? Who knows?
He did a very similar thing when he ran in 2020, which is he very much stayed under the radar. We didn't hear a whole lot from him until right about when the primaries were starting.
Political analyst Lee Carter says Biden's been sinking in the polls since last summer and needs to keep his head down.
He has lost quite a bit of momentum, and so he's going to have to get some wins up on the board if he's going to have a chance in 24.
Pundits predict it could be as late as the fall before Biden announces his future political plans. For the first time in its 256-year history, teachers are on strike at Rutgers University in New Jersey. Union leaders representing 9,000 educators walked off the job this morning.
It's not for lack of trying that we now have to have a strike. We've done everything to try to get them to negotiate in good faith with us, and it's just not happening.
They want better pay and better job security for graduate workers and part-time teachers. This job action disrupts classes for 70,000 students. King Charles III will be coronated as monarch of the United Kingdom in less than a month. That official ceremony set for Saturday, May 6th at Westminster Abbey. It is the first coronation there in nearly 70 years. Charles will be crowned with the same crown made for King Charles II way back in 1661. A first-time winner at Augusta, Jim Nantz with CBS Sports, had the call from the Masters.
Rahm wins the Masters Marathon.
John Rahm held on for the victory, finishing 12 under par. The win makes the Spaniard the new world number one in professional golf. Still to come on the Noon Report for a Monday, Hochul doubling down on abortifacients, chip production in Clay, New York, and the message that legalized marijuana sends to children.
Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Williams. The week is off to a lovely start weather-wise. We'll talk about how it may or may not continue coming up in the forecast. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
All right. Thank you very much, Kevin. We are off to the races. Temperature-wise this week, things are really going to warm up out there. Weather watcher Mike Doyle says there's no rain in sight for the next several days.
Maybe the next best chance to see some sort of rain showers will be late Sunday into our Monday morning. But until then, a gorgeous week ahead.
Some parts of the listening area will be in the mid-80s by week's end. Governor Hochul says it might be a few more days before a budget agreement is in place in New York. The legislature expected to approve another budget extender today to prevent a government shutdown. Reporter Scott Pringle has more from the state capitol.
Well, the budget extension will ensure state workers can get their paychecks. The budget was due on April 1st, but top state lawmakers and Governor Hochul still cannot come to an agreement on some key issues. Bail reform and affordable housing still being debated. The governor wants judges to have more discretion when considering bail. Hochul is also pushing a housing plan designed to create 800,000 units over the next decade.
Scott Pringle reporting the governor pushing for a bill to cover a pill. Her legislation would require insurance companies pay for the abortifacient misoprostol. On CNN over the weekend, Governor Hochul bragged about New York's history at upholding abortion rights.
As a woman, the first governor of a state that had legalized abortion 3 years before Roe v. Wade, so this is part of who we are as New Yorkers. These are rights we cherish.
Misoprostol is part of that two-drug cocktail that women use for do-it-yourself abortions. More than half of all the abortions in the country right now are chemically induced. Pennsylvania senior U.S. Senator Bob Casey announcing today he will seek a fourth term of office. Casey's already the longest-serving Democratic U.S. senator in Pennsylvania history. The cancer survivor turned 63 this week. Possible Republican challengers include hedge fund manager Dave McCormick and 2022 gubernatorial candidate Doug Mastriano. The mad dash to renewable energy is causing some unease in Pennsylvania. Philly Democrat Chris Rabb wants to make the Commonwealth fossil fuel free by the year 2050.
While the bill may not ultimately pass this session, it should alarm everyone that your state rep may support a ban on one of Pennsylvania's gold mine of exports. You know, we're the second largest producer of natural gas in the country. And so it's not hard to see how an outright ban on fossil fuels in Pennsylvania would not just be a ripple effect, but like a tidal wave effect of problems across the country.
That's Dan Barkowiak with the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is in central New York today promoting chip manufacturing and not the kind you eat. He is meeting with Micron executives to talk about their plans to train thousands of workers for a brand new semiconductor manufacturing plant in the town of Clay. That's just outside of Syracuse. Micron expected to hire 9,000 workers at that chip facility next year. Pro-family forces are worried about society's growing acceptance of marijuana as weed shops begin to sprout up all over the Empire State.
We are seeing not just the legalization of recreational marijuana, but the commercialization of pot in our state.
That's Jason McGuire with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedom.
And that really is a product that is now being targeted towards children. More and more youth are now experimenting with pot because they believe it is harmless. The government has sanctioned it. What could be wrong with it? It's just the wrong message for the state to be sending to the youth of this and next generation.
McGuire believes New York will rue the day that it decided to decriminalize and then commercialize recreational marijuana. Your Monday midday sports is next right here on the Family Life Noon Report.
Good afternoon. I'm Randy Snavely. Bob, the captain of the New York Yankees, demonstrated his leadership abilities on the diamond yesterday in Baltimore. Aaron Judge hit two home runs to lead the Yanks over Baltimore 5-3. The Mets fell to the Marlins 7-2. The Pirates won a squeaker 1-0 over the White Sox. But in the process, they lost star shortstop O'Neal Cruz. He broke his ankle in a collision at home plate. In Philly, you win some and you lose some. After scoring three runs in the bottom of the ninth on Saturday to come back and beat the Reds 3-2, Cincy scored three runs in the top of the ninth yesterday to come back and beat the Phillies 6-4. Other winners on the diamond, Boston, Tampa Bay, now a perfect 9-0 on the season. Cleveland, Houston, Toronto, the Brewers, Rockies, D-backs, Padres, Rangers, and Giants. In the NBA's final regular season games, the 76ers blew out the Nets 134-105. Those two teams going to meet one another in the first round of the playoffs starting this weekend. The Pacers knocked off the Knicks 141-136. Other winners, the Raptors, Heat, Hornets, Celtics, Rockets, Bulls, Spurs, T-Wolves, Thunder, Nuggets, Lakers, Clippers, and Warriors. Golden State set an NBA record, scoring 55 points in the first quarter in their game. On the ice, the Bruins won a record-setting 63rd game of the year. They beat the Flyers 5-3. The first major in the books in the PGA is Jon Rahm, won the green jacket, coming from four shots down when the day started to pass Brooks Koepka. Rahm won the Masters with a 12-under score. And in NASCAR, Christopher Bell took the checkered flag in Tennessee. Reddick, Dillon, Stenhouse Jr., and Briscoe rounded out the top five. That is a look at sports.
All right, Randy, man, good to have you back in the saddle. And still to come on the Noon Report for a Monday, mass shooting today downtown Louisville. We will have the latest dueling rulings on an abortion pill. And Kevin Williams says spring fever is about to infect the area. His forecast is yours after this.
Welcome to Breakpoint, a daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. A recent study commissioned by the Wall Street Journal found that the percentage of those who self-report valuing things like hard work, community involvement, patriotism, and tolerance for others has tanked in recent years. In fact, the only value that showed a marked increase, according to the study, was money. Our changing values reflect a deeply changed worldview, and they're at the root of the broader issues we face as a society, including our heightened political rancor, the growing number of what are called deaths of despair, and the loss of fundamental freedoms, like rights of conscience. Still, it is to this cultural moment, not another, that God has called his people. It is in this cultural moment that Christ has placed his church, to be salt and light, to be his hands, his feet, his body. Over the last 2 years, dozens of churches have wrestled more deeply with what it means to fulfill this cultural responsibility as church affiliates of the Colson Fellows Program. Recently, we spoke with a few of the pastors who've implemented the Colson Fellows program in their churches as affiliates. That conversation will be heard in its entirety in an upcoming bonus episode of the Breakpoint podcast. But here's a sample of what these pastors had to say. First, Pastor David Beach described the congregation of Ascend Church in Tempe, Arizona. Here's Pastor Beach.
I'm encouraged because the people that are in church today, they've kind of gone through the pandemic, the politics, the social issues, that fire of 2020 and 2021. And those who have left the church, they've left a group of people that are still all in. These are people that I would say have gone through the fire and they're like, you know what? We know who God is. We're even more confident about it today than ever before.
A former colleague of mine often said that the church is God's plan A and there's not a plan B. Colson Fellows Church Affiliate Program provides churches from every denominational background you can imagine with thorough training in Christian worldview, with in-depth cultural analysis, and with key leadership training as well. Pastor McClintock described the impact that this Colson Fellows training is having in his church as they proceed as a church affiliate.
When we embrace that we are image bearers of God, and so are those people that we disagree with, it really changes how we relate to culture and stand for God's truth, but also love people. One particular story really coming out of that I've heard is how some of our folks that are going through Colson Fellows now, when they might have a disagreement or want to be short with somebody, they kind of say to themselves, Imago Dei three times in order to understand that, hey, this person is somebody that Christ died for as well, and I'm called to love them, maybe not agree with them or adopt their theology, but still called to love them.
There are already nearly 60 churches serving as Colson Fellows affiliates, in addition to an ever-growing list of regionally based cohorts. Thanks to our generous donors, church leaders who hope to plant church affiliate programs in their churches can complete the Colson Fellows training free of charge and then start an affiliate the year after. To learn more about the church affiliate program of the Colson Fellows, go to colsonfellows.org. That's colsonfellows.org and click on Church Affiliates. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Casey Leander. For more resources to live like a Christian today, visit colsoncenter.org.
All right, let's take it outside next. Kevin Williams.
Here is your family life weather forecast. Friendly high pressure has started the week off on a lovely note weather-wise. For this afternoon, bright and sunny to lovely. High temperatures, mid-50s to the mid-60s. A little cooler, though, along the immediate shores of Lake Superior, Ontario. For tonight, mainly clear. Low temperatures, mid-30s to mid-40s. Tomorrow on Wednesday, clouds and partial sunshine, with high temperatures ranging both days in the 60s and lower 70s.
All right. Thank you very much, Kevin Williams. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. I'm your host, Bob Price, and here's what's going on. Monday, the 10th of April, shots rang out at a bank today in downtown Louisville. Five are dead, including the shooter. Eight others taken to the hospital. Louisville Mayor Craig Greenberg.
I want to thank all of the first responders. Without a doubt, their actions saved lives.
Two cops among those injured, police calling it a workplace violence. The gunman was a former employee of that bank. The abortion issue could be headed back to the Supreme Court after dueling rulings on the abortion pill mifepristone over the weekend. A judge in Texas blocked it, but a judge in Washington State ruled in its favor. Those competing decisions has led to confusion about the abortifacient, which is used in more than half of the abortions performed in this country. The U.S. searching for the source of a highly classified intelligence leak on social media. This includes documents on the war in Ukraine, China, the Middle East, and Africa.
The leak has triggered a Justice Department investigation. The concern is the impact these leaked documents could have on the U.S. and its allies. One purports to show a British spy plane nearly shot down by a Russian jet over Ukraine last year. That could have broader implications if the Russians targeted a NATO alliance plane.
Cammy McCormick reporting the U.S. military sent a naval destroyer into the South China Sea today as the communist regime continues military exercises off the coast of Taiwan. Wisconsin Congressman Mike Gallagher says China's not messing around when it comes to Taiwan, and we shouldn't mess around when it comes to China.
We need to support our friends in Taiwan specifically by giving them the
weapons that they've purchased from us, which have been backlogged. We need to be moving heaven and earth to surge power out to the Indo-Pacific before it's too late.
U.S. intelligence officials believe China plans to invade Taiwan within 5 years. Military analyst Rebecca Koffler.
We must demonstrate to China that we can defend Taiwan, right? But the truth is, we're stretched pretty thin.
Koffler does not think the U.S. has the military strength right now to defend Taiwan and Ukraine at the same time. China's latest military exercises near Taiwan involve the use of 70 warplanes and nearly a dozen ships. The city of Nashville could vote today to reinstate one of the two expelled state lawmakers, a pair of politicians kicked out of the Capitol last week for violating House rules during contentious debate over gun control. Police bracing for more protests today in Nashville. Texas Governor Greg Abbott plans to pardon an Army sergeant convicted of killing a Black Lives Matter protest during a riot in 2020. That Army sergeant claims self-defense. Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick is backing Abbott's efforts.
He should have never been charged with murder. When you have the justice system break down at the DA level and the court level, that's the beginning of the end of a country.
Others say the Army sergeant is a cold-blooded killer and accelerated his vehicle into a crowd that fateful night, that BLM activist was shot and killed. Sentencing for the former Army sergeant begins tomorrow. He is facing life without parole. Women's sports activist Riley Gaines is calling out San Francisco State University for defending a protest that resulted in her having to barricade herself in a room for 3 hours, a locked room, for her own safety. Conservative radio talk show host David Webb says Gaines is right to take legal action against that school.
Sue the university. Failure to protect someone who's on campus grounds, number one, and 3 hours in a room, they clearly failed. Lawfare's needed here. She has to hold them accountable.
Gaines was attacked by trans activists for giving a speech on campus last week about keeping biological boys out of girls' sports. Easter may be over, but that didn't stop the White House from hosting the annual Easter egg roll this morning. President Biden and the First Lady, Dr. Jill Biden, welcomed guests on the South Lawn alongside two Easter bunnies. About 30,000 were in attendance at this year's event. The White House Easter egg roll dates back to 1878 and President, at that time, Rutherford B. Hayes. You're tuned in to the Noon Report, a Monday edition on Family Life. And welcome back to another edition of Issues in Education. Mondays during the Noon Report, we spotlight the issues impacting our public school families with the good Dr. Ralph Kerr at the Teaching and Learning Institute. Ralph, well, hey, spring break is over. Time to get back to class. Trust you had a great vacation last week. I know a lot of kids are dreading having to go back to school this week with sunny skies and 70 degrees, but the end is in sight. Hang in there. It won't be long. We got a big problem going around the schools. This is this incident called swatting, these computer-generated prank phone calls. They started right after that Nashville school shooting, and there have been dozens of schools affected here. Both the governor and U.S. Senator Chuck Schumer have spoken out about this. Is there anything that can be done to prevent this?
Well, it's interesting you say they've spoken out about it. I noticed that, but that's all they've done. They haven't provided any solutions that I've found. Here's what I think should happen. First of all, there needs to be a PR message go out across the state that says if you get caught doing this, there are going to be some really severe consequences. That's easy to say, but given the way some of the district attorneys are working right now, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I know this is a misdemeanor. Corning Assemblyman Phil Palmisano says this should be a felony, not a misdemeanor. Maybe it would discourage this sort of activity. First responders have to waste precious time and resources, so hopefully they can crack down on this. There was a big story out of Pennsylvania also in light of the tragic Nashville school shooting. Doug Mastriano, the former candidate for governor wants to make Pennsylvania the 33rd state that would allow trained teachers and staff to carry a sidearm on campus. Do you think this could have made a difference in Nashville?
Well, it's my understanding that actually at the school where the incident occurred, some of the faculty or staff actually had guns. The problem with that is that if you don't happen to be where the gunfire erupts, having a gun, you know, on the first floor or in a different classroom doesn't help that much. The other thing is, though, that it does create a deterrent. The shooter in Nashville said that she didn't go to some other place because she was aware of the fact that there was a lot of deterrence in place there. So I've said all along that I don't think teachers or staff should be mandated to carry a firearm, but I do think that if they choose to do that, it can help, and they should be able to do that.
Yeah. The president of the nation's second largest teachers union is a gal named Randi Weingarten. We've talked about her a time or two on this program. She has launched a hotline for parents to report book bans in their children's schools. It's called the Freedom to Teach and Learn Hotline. And this is a pushback against moms and dads who might be concerned over controversial curriculum. Your thoughts on what the union boss is doing here?
Well, actually, it should be called the Freedom to Teach and Learn Trash and Age Inappropriate Materials. I have to tell you, I have a personal story on this that just happened over the last couple of weeks. I was in touch with some parents from a school district close by to where I live, actually, who were concerned about age-appropriate teaching that was happening in an eighth-grade classroom. And I want to make a point of advising parents to check out your own school to see if they have in their library or in their classroom the book called The Hate You Give by Angie Thomas. This book is filled with over 300 uses of the F word, the S word, and other words that both you and I would consider to be absolute trash.
Yeah.
Plus, the sexual content that's just totally inappropriate. And unfortunately, some parents in this school district have called the board on it. And I talked to one of the board members, and they weren't even aware that textbooks need to be approved by the Board of Education. I feel badly about that because I've mentioned that several times on this program. Is one of the advantages of being a school board member that you get to approve the textbooks that are used. This book and others like it, it should be on the list of Randi Weingarten, but in one that should be banned from the schools, absolutely, for sure.
Yeah, she's making it very clear she doesn't want the parents at all involved. She wants to keep them out of the classroom. But that's why we have this program to counter that, as you called it, trash, and that's exactly what it is. And then finally, the State Education Department will adopt recommendations soon from an advisory panel. This was a report on WGRZ in Buffalo, prohibiting schools from using mascot symbols or logos that are even loosely associated with Native Americans. Ralph, those who don't could lose state aid. They could even have their school boards recalled. Is there any wiggle room here for districts that feel very strongly about their Native American nicknames?
I don't think there really is any wiggle room. It's interesting, when I looked into this, it turns out that back in 2001, when I was actually an active superintendent, the commissioner at that time said that these Native American nicknames should, in fact, be changed from school districts. So now, after over 20 years, the department is saying, as part of the Dignity of Students Act and also the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Act, that these nicknames need to change. And for a place like Salamanca, where they've been called the Warriors for years, that's kind of an interesting take, but they're all going to have to comply or face the possibility of losing state aid, which no district can afford to do, and maybe having their school boards recalled.
Yeah, and the next question is, who's going to pay for it? That's what a lot of superintendents are wondering. We'll dig into that at a later date. But Ralph, hey, we've been a lot of places, and if you have any question about any issue brought up on this week's edition of Issues in Education, folks can get in touch with you. Ralph, if you would, tell us how.
They can simply go to yrun.org, yrun.org.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Kerr. The name of the program, Issues in Education, comes your way Mondays during the Noon Report or online anytime at familylife.org. Just look for the news icon on the podcast page.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Friendly high pressure has started the week off on a lovely note weather-wise. And we've got more nice weather to come, though the skies won't be as sunny tomorrow and Wednesday. It's a serene weather scene with no big storms or major precipitation foreseen through the work week ahead. For this afternoon, bright and sunny to lovely. High temperatures, mid-50s to the mid-60s. A little cooler, though, along the immediate shores of Lake Sirion, Ontario. But tonight, mainly clear. Low temperatures, mid-30s to mid-40s. Tomorrow and Wednesday, clouds and partial sunshine, with high temperatures ranging both days in the 60s and lower 70s.
All right, we'll take it. Thank you, Kevin. And from one Kevin Williams to another, this Kevin Williams is the director of the Buff State Planetarium, and he's talking about a celestial phenomenon that is still a year away, but already it's generating a lot of buzz.
For any one spot on the Earth, it only happens once every 400 years or so. It's going to be an event like we have haven't seen before in our lifetimes.
What this Kevin Williams is talking about is a rare total eclipse of the sun. A solar eclipse happens Monday, April 8th, 2024. Mark your calendar.
This type of event that people describe as being awe-inspiring, religious, there really are sometimes no words to describe it. We'll be able to see the sky get darker. We'll be able to see some of the bright stars and planets. Animals will start behaving like it's beginning to be nighttime. Temperatures will drop. Winds might pick up.
That total eclipse will only last about 4 minutes. Now, the last time something like this happened was 1925. And after next year, it won't happen again, folks, until the year 2144. So don't miss it. Should be quite a show. That's the world we live in. Monday, the 10th of April. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.